And Judges, go over to the Old Testament, Judges. I don't think I've ever preached a message during a missions conference that had Judges in it, but we're doing it tonight. And I did, several weeks ago I was trying to get around this one and thought, well, Lord, I like preaching that at a missions conference. Why this one? But sometimes you do that. There's times you're going to find this, Brother Craig, you're going to find sometimes, at least it did with me, there's times you show up on a Sunday morning, you got 2-3 messages. Lord, which one? And that's okay. That's good. Extra study's fine. Judges chapter 13. Again, appreciate your hospitality and your friendship and your faithfulness. Just be faithful to the Lord. We're going to deal with a familiar character here, a fellow named Samson, and try and glean some important messages. Again, missions conference ought to focus our attention on the Lord and our walk with Him. If we don't keep our walk right with the Lord, then what you do for Christ later is moot. Okay, you can make decisions and you can make commitments and then you can back away from those. Something that I've always done over the years is whenever we made a Faith Promise Missions commitment, it was to that church for that year, and if you move, well, you still have responsibility to that church because you made that commitment there. See, and it's just the way it ought to be. You move, but you pay, you know, your utilities and so forth. Hey, even though you changed houses, you still got to keep paying your utilities and taxes and all that other thing, right? So we need to stay faithful to the commitments that we made to the Lord and through this church. It's that simple. So, again, maintaining our walk with the Lord, look at Judges chapter 13, and we're going to begin in verse 1. It says, the children of Israel did even evil again in the sight of the Lord. You find Judges, it's like a rodent on a treadmill, just going round and round and round and round and round. You know, they're walking with the Lord, and then they get backslidden, then they get chased, and then they get things right with the Lord. And then they kept making the same cycle over and over in the book of Judges. I don't know about you, I don't like going round and round like that. Let's find a straightforward path and get going. He says here that they did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. God can raise up enemies to chasten us, to get our attention. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, said unto her, behold now, how thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink. In other words, no alcohol. That's good for everybody. And eat not any unclean thing, for thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So we find there a clear pattern. His parents were told certain things to do, not to do. There's clear instruction, direction, how we're supposed to raise this child. And, you know, God has a plan for our lives. And God has a way for us to be used of the Lord. When we talk about judging Israel, in essence, he was to be a deliverer. He was supposed to help Israel to have freedom and safety from their enemies. So he's off to a good start. God's telling us a good thing here. By the way, the Nazarite vow, if you get reading it with Samson, you'll find that he didn't just have a hair full of locks every which way. The Bible says 7 locks of hair. Again, you know, we're going to see here in a little bit that his girlfriend gets the truth out of him, where his secret is, quote-unquote, with his strength, and she cuts the what? The 7 locks, okay? If it was just everything every which way, she'd have to roll them over and do the other side. You don't think he would have woke up at that time? But rather, they just came in, snipped the 7 locks. Oh, Samson, wake up. You'll see here in a little bit. Look at verse 24 and 25. And the woman bare a son called his name Samson. The child grew. And the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16. So we find that, you know, again, good parentage, going on the right direction, starting to be used of God. And in chapter 16, we find in verse 20, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before." He's kind of a little confident there, isn't he? A little too much confident. Doesn't realize what's happened. "I will go out as other times before and shake myself and wist not." The little word there, wist, means like you didn't know. "Wist not that the Lord was departed from him." That's a pretty sorry place to be, isn't it? Now, the Bible tells us we're sealed with the Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. The Lord said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But that doesn't mean God's hand of blessing will be on us. Continuing on, she said, verse 21, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." Now, if you stop and you just look at those two things, he got off to a good start, and now he's at a pretty sorry situation. The Philistines have captured him. Why? Because he continued sinning. He broke his Nazarite vow. There was not only the matter of the hair. He was to keep himself pure and separated. As a Nazarite, he wasn't allowed to touch any dead things. He goes over and he touches that dead lion. And Jesus, by the way, wasn't a Nazarite. He was a Nazarene. Big difference. A Nazarene. Did Jesus touch dead folks? He raised them from the dead. Did Jesus touch the lepers? Yeah. Nazarite wasn't allowed to do that. Jesus didn't sin because he wasn't a Nazarite. He was a Nazarene. There's a difference. So we find him. He gets off to a good start. God's using them. And then he gets overconfident, starts thinking, hey, this is all me. Look what God did. God's always going to be there. And it doesn't matter what I do. Now he's lost all his power, and the Philistines have taken really a red-hot poker, and they burned out his eyes. Anybody here ever been burnt? I've had burns. I remember a fellow that I knew in Ontario, Canada. He was a welder, blacksmith, and he'd be welding along, and all of a sudden, every once in a while, he'd touch that molten puddle. Burned all over. It would burn through his long sleeve shirt that he was wearing. And you could hear him go, ugh! And he'd just keep going real slow, and then he'd get done and shake. Or sometimes it would splatter and go down into his boots. I could smell it burning his flesh. I've never seen anyone tolerate pain like that. I have my mom had an uncle that he got caught in a gas fire. Whole half of his body all burnt. He didn't even have an ear on the one side. All it was a little hole. I can't imagine being burned with a hot poker, burning your eyes out. My wife one time when she was younger, she had a hot deep fryer and spilt it, caught the leg on it on the edge and dumped it all over her leg, on her foot, had to do skin grafts. I remember I was at a church one time and heard about a family. They had a couple of kids and didn't have a whole lot of room in their house, counter space, and they had done fries in the deep fryer, and she needed to move it and so forth and set it on the floor and kept working and so forth, and then had their meal, and little boy wanted down, and so they let him down. He's playing. And then all of a sudden, the screams that they heard as that little boy plunged his backside into that pot of hot oil. The screams. By the way, the screams. Could you imagine the screams of people in hell? I can't imagine what Samson endured when his eyes were burnt out. Hey, God will stop you from running one way or the other. Samson, what happened to you? You started off so good. Samson, you were walking with the Lord and you had victory and you seen how God used you and how God undertook for you. Samson, what happened? You know, if you were to surmise it all up, I mean, stop and think about it. Samson, there were some amazing things that he did, right? Killed a lion, his bare hands. David, at least, he had some tools accessible to him. But here's Samson ripping a lion apart with his bare hands. Killing 1,000 Philistines just with the jawbone of a donkey. That's amazing. How you do that? Caught 300 foxes alive, tied their tails together and put a burning flask on it, let it go. I don't know, did he chase them all down? Did he trap them? You know, when you grab a fox by the tail, let alone two, they scratch, they bite, they don't just sit there. Yeah, break my tail, tie it together, you know, set me on fire. How did he do all that? He was strong, but was he fast enough to catch foxes? I mean, think about it for a little bit. He lifted up the gates of Gaza and carried them on his shoulder and planted them up on the hilltop. There's some pretty amazing things that the Bible mentions about Samson, the strongest man that the world has ever known. But if you were to ask Samson, what happened? I wonder if he would have said, you know, really, I simply became self-willed. Just wanted to do my own thing. The ruin of a self-willed man. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'd bless it. And Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to examine ourselves and consider this message. And Lord, help us to stay faithful to you. Regardless of what others do or don't do, help us to stay faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Titus 1:7 tells us that as a steward of God, not self-willed. Every single one of us here that's saved, you're supposed to be a servant of the Lord. God wants us to be found faithful. And we can't be self-willed. You remember, if we're going to follow the Lord, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I need to keep following the Lord. It doesn't matter how many successes I had in the past and how many victories and what things God may have used you in the past. What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do this week? We better keep focusing on the Lord. See? Don't just sit back and say, well, I've been faithful for a year. I've been faithful for 10 years. Faithful for all your life. Just stay steadfast with the Lord. I want you to see several simple points. I got two main points and then some points underneath. Number one, the downward steps to the ruin of a self-willed life. Downward. The steps. It's just one little thing at a time. It progressively gets worse. Now, let's go back here in Judges and go back to chapter 14. And I want you to see the first thing that he did, or that I want you to note anyhow, is that he refused wise counsel. He didn't listen to the good advice that he was given, particularly from his father. In chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, it says, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Okay, so they went through the matter of parental authority. Parental authority is an important thing. Before I ever married my wife, I asked her dad if I could marry her. I already knew her for several years, but I wanted her dad's advice. My parents, they didn't care what I did. Her dad did. Her dad already checked me out, by the way, just in case I'd come by and ask. But I wanted her dad's consent. See, that's his daughter. Until she becomes my wife, she's supposed to listen to her dad. Well, I'm in my 20s now. Well, you're still supposed to listen to your dad. Look what it says here. By the way, same thing ought to apply to boys. He says, then his father and mother said to him, verse 3, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren and among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she what? Is in the will of God? For she pleaseth me well. He's just thinking of him. What do I want right now? And why is it that he liked her? He saw. He's lusting. There's a whole big different thing between love and lust. And he simply lusted for her. He was thinking of himself, not thinking of God. Verse number 4, but his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord, and he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared, etc. So what we find here, again, he was given good advice. Why are you wanting her? There's some really good girls right here. Why are you looking over there? And of all things, a Philistine? She's not even saved. But he didn't listen. He had an eye problem, didn't he? You know, the Bible puts godly parents and godly church folks, godly preacher, that's there for our help, for our benefit. Okay, the Bible says there's safety in counsel. Safety. Well, they just think they know everything. No, that's not what they think. That might be what you think, but that's not what they think. There's safety in godly counsel. Safety. You ought to study that out, especially in the book of Proverbs. Safety in counsel. Okay? Sometimes, especially as you get older in life, there's things that you can kind of see and understand better than you did in your youth. And so you can glean from that godly counsel. But God put the counsel there for our benefit and for our help. I remember a fellow in our church back in Canada. He came, he wanted to meet with me, he wanted some advice, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, how am I going to give him advice? Lord, I don't know what exactly he wants. He's a lawyer. And so Dan met with me and so forth, and we talked about a situation at work. We're talking about court and law, and he's very frustrated about what was going on. And I said, so what exactly is it, Dan? I'm not a lawyer. I said, I've studied God's word, that's law. But what is it? And so he told me, and I said, And by the way, I was praying a lot, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Help me, Lord. And then I said, I clarified, I asked a couple questions, and then I said, Dan, what about this? And he just kind of looked, kind of dumbfounded, and he said, you sure you hadn't studied law? That's the only right answer. I don't remember what the question is now. I said, Dan, did you pray and ask God for help? Did you ask God to give me wisdom? Because I tell you, I've been praying. He said, yeah. I said, so God looked at you, and God looked at me, and we're both praying. And I said, you're applying a biblical principle of getting godly counsel. And I said, God answered your prayer. I said, sometimes we get too close to the trees, we can't see the forest. And I said, you were so close to it, emotionally involved in the whole thing. And he goes, but that is the only right answer. I said, that sure ain't me. I haven't studied law like you have. I don't know. I'm not even going to try to take any credit of that. That's the Lord brought to my attention a particular point that you had just missed. See, so the importance of godly counsel. Before I ever got married, I got counsel on it. Before we went off to British Columbia, I got counsel on it. That's when we started our first church. You graduated from Bible college. Why do you got to listen to anybody? It doesn't matter. There's times I've gotten counsel on what car to buy. Okay? I remember a fellow that in our church up in Canada, if any of you know anything about cars, Pete knows a few things about cars. Hey, Pete, you like a Lada? Or a Renault? No. We had a fellow in the church, he's praying for a car. Next thing, he comes back in, he's all smiles. I got a good deal on a car. I said, what'd you get? A Lada. I went, oh, man, I'll tell you what you got. You got a lot of headache. I said, I'm sorry to tell you that, but you got a lot of headache. And then he asked a few other people, and they're telling him the same thing. And he looks at me and said, all you had to do is get some counsel to ask. I said, you're a truck guy. Why are you buying a Lada? That's nothing but a lot of headache. You know, why did you do that? And it did. Within a couple of weeks, he had a whole lot of headache with that thing. Wouldn't it have been easier just to go and ask? Get some instruction? I'm one that I don't like doing things the hard way. So the Bible talks about giving grace to the humble and listen. Now you need to ask those, by the way, that are in authority over you. If you go out and you ask 15 different people, eventually you'll find somebody that agrees with you. But you want to find somebody that's an authority over you. Okay, that's the Bible principle. But again, some folks don't want to listen to anybody. It's for protection. It's for your own good. Notice in verse 5 through 9, we see that he rejected scriptural teaching. In verse 5, then Samson went down, and his father and his mother to Timnath came to the vineyard of Timnath, and behold, the young lion, etc. Now, let me. I want to make a point here before I get off too far. His parents should have vehemently said no. They ended up yielding to him. Should have said, no, buddy, we ain't doing this. You do that, it ain't with our blessing. But it goes on, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, verse 6, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, talking about that lion. And he had nothing in his hands, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Yeah, hey, big boy, I like you. And you know, just smooth talking, that big galoot. Well, by the way, we don't know how big he is. He kind of fit in with most everybody else. You didn't look at him and go, whoa, that's like Charles Atlas, all muscles bounding everywhere. He fit in with most everybody else. In verse 8, after time he returned to take her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hand and went on eating, and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. And he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. As a Nazarite, he wasn't supposed to touch dead stuff. He knew that. He's totally disregarding what the Word of God told him. Well, I don't think it's a big deal. Not right now. But the sin is the transgression of the law, and a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So what happens is you start making these compromises, and then you say, well, lightning hasn't fallen. I'm still doing okay. See, and what's happening is you're slowly going further and further into darkness, further walking away from the Lord. Let's look at another thing. If you'll look with me, actually, I'm just going to tell you this one. In 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, and iniquity, and adultery, idolatry. So we find, again, this matter of just turning away from Scripture and not listening to it, it's going to end up in a bad scenario, not good. Just mark it down. We don't listen to good advice and counsel, so we're not listening to the right people. And then we just flat out just kind of compromise on the Word of God, not listening to what God said, disregarding where God draws the lines and the rules. It ain't going to get good. It's going to go bad. It's going to sour. Might not come right away, but eventually it'll come, and it'll grind thoroughly. I want you to see a third thing. Let her see here. He resisted the Spirit's urging. You know, when the Holy Spirit, when we do wrong, the Spirit of God will tell us. He will. Hey, don't do that. You know you shouldn't do that. You might call it your conscience. Okay. The Spirit of God can activate that conscience. And the more you harden yourself to listening, simply the harder your heart gets. Because you didn't listen. See, God's no respecter of persons. I know there's times in my life when I'm tempted to do something, you know, steal extra cookies when my wife's not watching. You know you shouldn't do those things. And then you go ahead and do it anyway. Hey, you're hardening. Sin always creates callous. You don't want to get hard. So the best thing, and try to hide it? No, the best thing to do is go to God and confess it right away. Hey, I did wrong. It was stupid. I shouldn't have done it. Now, he convicts the conscience regarding sin. And sin can be so deceptive. Have you ever heard that sin will take you farther than you wanted to go? It'll cost you more than you ever wanted to pay, and it'll hold you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And get this, it never lets you come back the same as when you came in. Sometimes it'll leave scars. You always, always, always ought to strive to do what's right. If you got to hide what you're doing, you probably ought to mark it down. It's not right. You don't have to hide when you do good. When you're doing wrong, you don't want anybody to know about it. Let's look at the second thing, the destruction of a self-willed life. So we see this downward steps, and it'll continue getting worse if it's not nipped. So you start and you say, let's apply it for missions conference. Well, Lord, I'm going to give this money to missions. And then somewhere along the line you say, well, that was too much money. I shouldn't have done that. And so you hold it back. If you read in the Bible, you find this couple called Ananias and Sapphira. They said, hey, I'm going to commit such and such. And you know, you say, well, it's just me, between me and God, and it's on our card. It is between you and God. So you ought to say, Lord, what are we going to do? But to sit back and then take it back and say, no, I didn't give that. I didn't say I was going to give that much. I'm going to give this much. That's not good. That's not good. Okay? You want to be faithful, faithful, faithful to the Lord. Regardless, again, regardless of what others do or don't do, you're not accountable for them. You're accountable for you. So those steps are going to go downward. And it's going to lead to real big problems. It ends up in destruction. That self-centered, rebellious life is always going to end up bad. Let's look at Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 20. We see a broken fellowship with God. Chapter 16, verse 20. We read it a moment ago, but look at it again. In verse 20. And she said, this is Delilah, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke up out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Broken fellowship. That's something as a child of God you can lose. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose that fellowship, that closeness with God. And what is it that breaks that? Our sin and rebellion. It's one thing if you're trying to walk and you trip and fall. It's another thing when you purposely do wrong. It's kind of like King David looking down at Bathsheba. Hey, temptation is one thing, but when he kept glaring and staring and then he started plotting and conniving, that's a whole different thing there. And the Lord will deal with it. Nobody gets away with it. Well, David was a king. He ain't going to get away with it. Well, one time it says he was a man after God's own heart. He ain't going to get away with it. Then why do we think we can get away with it? We ain't going to get away with doing wrong. We ought to stay yielded and submissive and maintain that walk with the Lord and don't let anything interfere with it. It's going to end up in defeat. Look at verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Okay, so it may not be immorality, but maybe it's just running after money. Or maybe you just want everybody to like you, and you're getting all more and more focused on self instead of the Lord getting the attention and the glory. You see, it continues to go downhill, and now he's defeated. The first time he's ever lost a fight. And it's after he's broke fellowship with God. You see, as a child of God, we ain't going to win against Satan. We're not going to be victorious against sin. We'll be defeated every time because we're not maintaining that fellowship with God. Whose fault's that? Yours. See? And there's nothing new under the sun. The devil doesn't have new tricks. He just puts a little different candy coating on it, but he's smarter than you and I. Okay? God keeps a hedge around us, and the devil's always trying to get us out. Come on out from there. Come over here. It's okay. You know, lightning's not going to fall. Oh, come on. You did it last week. Come on. Let's go out and do it again. It'll eventually catch up on you. So it's always, always, always best to do right. Now we see what happens to him, right? The Philistines burn out his eyes. And it says they brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters and brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So what can we learn about that? Well, sin will bind. And sin will grind you down. We don't want to get caught in that temptation, and then the yielding to the sin, it's always going to end up breaking you. It binds and blinds and grinds. Here's a fellow that was used of God greatly, and now what's he doing? He's grinding in the mill like a dumb animal. I'm the mighty Samson. Samson, what happened to your eyes, dude? Oh, you don't have any. Samson, what are you doing in here all tied up like a dumb donkey? What are you doing, Samson? How, Samson, did you get here? Self-will. The ruin of self-will. Okay? I'm not trying to bring bad memories to anybody, but you know there was a song that says, I did it my way. Wasn't it fun doing it your way? Because you rebelled against God, you chose to do your thing instead of God's thing. Now look where you're at. Samson, you think there's some things we could learn? Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Hey, you know you had your eyes burnt out? Samson, you ain't growing a new set. It's not like losing a fingernail and letting it grow back. Oh, Samson, you got your hair cut, but you know what? Your hair will grow back, but your eyes ain't coming back, buddy. How long was it that he was grinding in there? We have no idea. I want you to see the deformity that it can create. Again, we're talking about this in verse 21, that he put out his eyes. Have you ever seen anybody that's missing an eye? You know, we lift the patch up and they let you have a look. Man, that's nasty. And usually the folks that have that patch, a lot of times it's surgically removed. I mean, most of us here probably heard of a guy named Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate. Okay, doctors took his eye out because of cancer. It wasn't a pretty thing. That's one of the reasons why he had that patch on there. But if you ever lifted that thing up, man, oh man, it's an empty eye socket. What happened? It's deformed. Sin will never leave you as you once were. It won't. I remember our firstborn daughter hopping on my lap, and she was holding my hand. You know, she was like about 4 or 5 years old. She hold my hand, and she starts looking. I said, "Daddy, where'd you get those scars?" I said, "From hurting people. From fights and doing stupid things." Hey, you got forgiven. But you still got scars. Ain't worth it. Not worth it. And not only scars on the outside, but there's scars in here too. And I know the Lord forgives, and the Lord can purge the conscience. But every once in a while, the old devil will bring those things back up. You know what you got to do? You got to fight to suppress that. Don't think on those things. Okay? If there be any truth and virtue, etc., you know what I'm talking about. That doesn't edify, that doesn't glorify God. That's all forgiven. Okay? Satan may bring it back up every so often, but you know what you got to do? Push it back under. It's in the past. It's all under the blood. But still got scars. Time might heal those away. Eventually, but there'll be marks. I want you to see that it also brings sorrow and regret. You got to live with the consequences. Again, I know a fella, he got backslidden, he was messing around with pipe bombs. Blew several fingers off his hand. Ain't going to grow back. He got right with the Lord later, but ain't going to grow back. I know a fella that he was a preacher's kid, and the Lord was dealing with him to preach, and he decided he'd do something real smart because he didn't like anybody telling him what to do, so he joined the Marines. He was trained metal detectors, and he was out training the guys how to do metal detecting, you know, to find the mines, and he missed one and stepped on it, blew his legs off. Ain't no more running now. Could avoid that. The pastor of the church in Rifle, Colorado, that we turned the church there over to, he's backslidden. He and his girlfriend were going down an inner tube, down a snowbank, down a hill, and he realized, man, we're heading for a tree. And he yelled at her, "Bail out, bail out." And he bailed out, and she couldn't bail out in time. And she hit a tree. And she's paralyzed from the waist down. She's not bitter about it. Sweet lady. He and I were chatting about it. He said, "Why didn't God?" He said, 10 times over, "I would rather God let that happen to me." By the way, he married her in the hospital. He said, "Why didn't God let that happen to me?" I said, "Probably because you're too stubborn. It wouldn't have affected you anything. Anyway, but God knew how to get your attention." And they got 3 boys. 2 boys. He got right with the Lord. And then in time, you know, serve the Lord and so forth. And then he started struggling with surrendering to be a preacher. And God said, do you want to go through some more? No, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord. I'll go preach. You know? Isn't it just easier just to go ahead and say, Lord, I want to do your will? It would be a whole lot easier to put more effort and work in our walk with the Lord, keep humble, than it is to go through those things. The chastenings and the scourging. No, it's better just to walk with the Lord. See? The Bible tells us many are called, but few are chosen. I wonder how many times God calls folks and they just don't want to listen. La, 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 not listening. It's not going to end up good. Not going to end up good at all. It ends up in sorrow and regrets. It ends up in shame. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. It ends up in death. Isn't this what happens with them? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It'll destroy your joy and your contentment and your peace, maybe even your life. Samson, what are you doing, Samson? He said, get her for me, she pleases me. Samson, what are you doing? Get her, I want her. Samson, what are you thinking? By the way, Samson, his wife and her whole household ends up getting burned and killed. Look back here at chapter 16, verse 28 through 30. 28 through 30. Actually, we're going to back up a little bit. Back up all the way to verse 25. It says, it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. They're going to make fun of him. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. They're in this huge temple, this big old area, thousands of Philistines in there. Now they're going to poke fun at Samson. That's what they're doing. They're mocking and scoffing at the strong man that ain't strong anymore. Verse 26, Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand. We don't know anything about this lad. He said, suffer me or allow me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women and all the lords of the Philistines. So you got all this higher echelon of Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men. That's on the roof. 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were there, so that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which slew in his life. That's kind of a sorry way to die. I've had people say, well, he was committing suicide. He could have done that by himself. Remember, he was the judge. He was supposed to deliver Israel from the Philistines. What did he do? I'm blind. And this is a miserable life, just grinding here all day. And he's a judge. He's supposed to defend Israel. Just food for thought. Most people think he committed suicide. I think he finally got right with the Lord and said, hey, I got this one last opportunity. I'm going to take out a bunch of these Philistines so my people can be free. Just a thought. And God granted him that strength. I don't think God would have granted it to commit suicide. By the way, most people that try to commit suicide fail. They end up as vegetables a lot of times. Put his hands on those pillars, thrust it, the whole thing came down. Cost him his life. Cost him his life. You ever wonder what Samson really could have done for the Lord if he hadn't gotten backslidden? If he hadn't got self-willed? Man, what could Samson have done? Well, the same thing could be asked. What could Solomon have done if he hadn't got backslidden like he did? There's a lot of mess Solomon made. Self-willed. Got all infatuated about himself. Me, 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 me. It's the same thing. You know, what we need to do is recognize it and say, you know what, I'm going to stay away from that. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to live for you. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Lord, help me stay away from sin. Help me to stay true and faithful to you. You know, if you went into sin, backslid, and made some messes and so forth, the best thing to do is, hey, you get things right with God. And you say, you know what? If I can go back and fix some things, great. But Lord, there's some things I'm not going to be able to fix. But help me from here on out to be faithful to you. I want to be your servant. Lord, every day I need to die to self. Every day, Lord, I want to do something for you. Lord, would you use me? God, help me. You get in God's Word. Ask the Lord to open your eyes, open your understanding. Meditate on God's Word. Think about the Lord so that it becomes really part of you. And you're never going to end up going that direction like Samson did. I'll start it out good. Well, that's not the end of the race. And he has some difficult, lousy areas in his life. Now, all that said, Samson got right with the Lord. He got some things right. And you don't think God can forgive? Let's see, isn't Samson mentioned in Hebrews 11? We call it the Hall of Faith. Huh. Hey, there's some things that Samson did by faith. Even right at the end of his life, he got things right. And he said, I'm going to die serving God. And he brought down the house on those Philistines. Just food for thought. But wouldn't it have been better just for Samson to live his whole life for the Lord? Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So what should I do if I'm going the wrong direction? You sense your heart's getting cold towards the Lord. You know what you ought to do? Stop and repent. Acknowledge to the Lord your sin. Get it right with God right away. Restore that fellowship with God. What should I do? Give yourself afresh and anew to the Lord. Lord, I know I did wrong. Lord, I need cleaning up. Lord, I want you to have me. Lord, I don't want to keep going down this wrong path. Lord, I want you to have me. And then thirdly, establish some proper boundaries. Some proper boundaries. Good fences, good walls up in your life. So that it hinders you from going in a wrong direction. Get around some good places and good people. And stay away from the bad ones. Get in your Bible daily and spend time with the Lord in the Word of God and in prayer and in fellowship. Be faithful to church. Avoid a simple thing like avoid all appearances of evil. Just stay away from it. Well, that kind of language ain't good. That music's not right. Oh, they're not dressed appropriate. I'm going to look the other way. We used to call it blinder season. We had three boys. We're driving in Kelowna. Kelowna's really, it's a tourist-trap town. And we'd be driving down the road. Oh, heads down. They don't need that stuff in their head. Mom would holler it out, or I would. No, Dad didn't put his head down because usually I was driving. That's not a good thing. It's kind of like praying. You can pray wherever you are, but if you're driving, you can pray. Just don't shut your eyes while you were driving, okay? Avoid all appearances of evil. Flee youthful lust. Make no provision of the flesh. Isaiah chapter 1 and 18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as, what's it say? Scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. I remember a fella that not long after we got up to Kelowna, he was encouraged to get a hold of us and talk to him And so I arranged the time and so forth. Anyway, make a long story short, he bailed on that meeting. I saw him the next day, uninvited. His name was Dave. I figured, I didn't even know if he was saved. He just said, oh, I got to get right with the Lord. He had long hair down here, earrings. He called them fag tags. Later, he said, I need to get right with the Lord. God's going to kill me. I said, well, let me witness to you. Let me talk to you about the Lord. Let me show you in the Bible how to get... He said, I'm already saved. I got saved when I was 13, 14 years old. He said, I got backslidden. And he said, I'm afraid God's going to kill me. I'd start witnessing to him. I begin showing him a verse, he'd finish quoting it. I'd show him some more verses, he would finish quoting them. He knew them. He'd been adopted by missionaries from Colorado that had gone up to Alberta, Canada. Grew up in a preacher's home. Backslidden. Never thought he'd ever get that way. He said, if I don't get right with God, God's going to kill me. I showed him that verse in Isaiah 1:18. Explained to him, look, you need to confess your sin and get it right. And God can cleanse it and wash it all away. You can be restored in fellowship. Well, you know, Brother Madel, if I don't get right with God, God's going to kill me. Well, after hearing that 3-4 times, I just looked at him and said, you'd probably be worth killing. What do you mean? I said, Dave, I told you what you need to do. You see it from the Bible. The ball's in your court. What are you going to do with it? Because there's nothing more I'm going to tell you. He looked at me for a minute and he thought, got on his knees by that chair he was sitting in. Started bawling and weeping. I didn't hear what he said. It's not my business. It's between him and God. When he got up off that floor, his whole face was different. You could see something had happened. I said, Dave, did you get everything right with God? He said, I sure did. I said, I don't believe you. He looked at me again. I said, I don't believe you. He said, well, Brother Madel, I don't know what to tell you. He said, but I know what I did. He said, what? I said, okay. He said, what do you mean, okay? I said, if I could talk you out of it, you probably didn't mean it. And that guy took off. He just shot. He ended up getting publicly confessing, getting right with the Lord. He ended up getting his hair cut. His wife, she had made a profession of faith and found out later she wasn't saved. But he didn't just start leading. He was running. He was driving. I said, wait a minute, it's good that you're doing this, but you need to lead your wife, not drag her. She had some stuff that she needed to repent of and so forth. He looked at her and he said, Cece, he said, smoking won't send you to hell and back, but it'll sure make you smell like you've been there. They used to call me up to say, hey, can you come over and referee? Oh, I knew that was the fight. You know, and they became good friends. They became just solid folks in the church. But if you were to talk to Dave, he'd tell you, I don't ever want to go back there. It's wasted years. I wish I hadn't given those years away. You know, we can learn lessons from that. Again, why did God, the Bible says these things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Samson, boy, you got a good start. But I didn't guarantee a good finish. And why do I want to go through those troubles? I see God's faithful to keep His word. He'll chasten them that He loves. And He'll even scourge. I don't want to go that direction. I don't know about you, but I like learning from a car when it goes through the puddle and it goes, ksh! Hey, it's probably a pothole. Don't go through that puddle. I'm going to avoid it. How about things like this? This is even bigger. So if something like this can happen to Samson, it can happen to others. Okay, give you some other examples. You ever think that an apostle named Peter would ever curse and swear and deny the Lord? And lose fellowship. Demas, he was one of the fellow helpers with Paul. And yet there come a point where it says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do we not think that it can happen to us? Now, if you're on guard and daily you yield yourself to the Lord, it's far less likely to happen to you. Okay? This ruin of a self-willed life progressively got worse, kept focusing and centering on self instead of focusing on the Lord. Missions Conference ought to be a time when we focus on the Lord. We don't begrudge being able to be a vessel that God can use us like a channel of blessing. I want to be like the Sea of Galilee, remember? Receiving, using what really we need, and the rest passes on. I don't ever want to become like the Dead Sea. I've been there. Nothing living in there. It's dead. Nothing good in there. Okay? I want to be like the Red Sea. How about you? Let's be clean. Let's be a blessing. Use what we need in life. Being those stewards of God. Use what God gives us. and then passing it on down the road. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to truly be yielded vessels, vessels that are fit for the Master's use. And Lord, help us not to be self-centered, not to focus ourselves and simply pleasing self or the pleasures of this world, or simply following the crowd and wanting the praise of man. Lord, help us to focus our attention on you. Lord, to walk with you. And Lord, there's many times when we're going to have to just trust you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to do that. Lord, to be faithful with the starts and the goes and the stops and the waits. And Lord, help us just faithfully walking with you in the good times and the times when it's not so good. Help us to be faithful, not self-willed. But Lord, we faithfully follow you. Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Once again, if someone's here that's not saved, you need to get that matter settled. Get it taken care of. God's not messing around. One day you're going to die. Once is appointed unto man to die, after this the judgment. And as a child of God, let's live our life for the Lord that pleases him. Doesn't matter if others approve it or not. Let's walk faithfully with the Lord and not end up in the ruin of a self-willed life. Piano begins to play, and if you need to deal with the Lord, encourage you to take a few minutes to do that. And please get that matter settled. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Take business with the Lord.